I have begun recording.
I also have begun recording.
What accent is this?
I don't know. You started doing it first.
I'm editing a thing that I was DMing ages ago. And there were some characters that I gave all thick Russian accents to. But at some point, like, we cut away to some other stuff happening. And then we cut back to them. I'd forgotten how to do a Russian accent. So I started speaking. And all of a sudden, it was an Oilish accent.
Oh, no.
And they're not similar. But they are for me. Because I go to, like, the same deep place in my vocal cords.
Yeah, I get that. One of my... Well, the game that I run for my friends is a Zelda game, and they were fighting some bokoblins, and so I was doing, you know, bokoblin like, ah, ah! And my friend Kyle was like, Christina, that's just your Airmon voice, and I'm like, kind of. They are neighbors in the stable of voices that I can do.
Yeah. I can't wait to find out what Airmon Digivolves into, because mainly because I want to hear you do, like, hello, I am a chaste and noble knight now, or something like that. Or he just evolves into an even worse little guy.
Oh, man. I feel like if I were to try to take Airmon's voice higher pitched, I would have to ask Claire to pitch my voice up higher in editing, because
yeah.
There's only so high that I can go.
I feel like you'd have to go to a Mickey Mouse place.
That's true.
What happened? I'm Charlemagne. Actually, Charlemagne would be a good Digimon. Hang on.
Make a note about it. Put it in the server.
I am. I'm putting it in the server. Okay. Posted.
Also, we should sync our audio.
I don't know. Do we want to talk about more for the preamble? Because sometimes it feels weird where the preamble is just a different podcast. But also, it's like, hey, go listen to Binary Break.
I think we just should sync so we don't forget.
Okay. One.
Two.
Three.
Four.
Five.
Six.
No, I was asking if we should talk about more for the preamble, or if it's because sometimes it feels weird if the whole preamble is just talking about a different podcast, but also, hey, go listen to Binary Break.
Yeah, please go listen to Binary Break, and please talk about it on social media.
It's great, and, like, it's the first podcast, I mean, I've seen a lot of people talk about Wayward, which is your other podcast, Christina, but I feel like not as many people talk about my show and also this show. On social media, as they do talk about Binary Break, a show which I am tangentially involved in, and just makes me really proud and really excited to see people like, yeah, I just looked up Digimon things and Binary Break was there. Hell yeah.
Yeah, I think that is one of Binary Break's, I guess, stronger points when it comes to marketing and outreach, is that Binary Break is in and of itself derivative of Digimon, which is something that has a lot more cultural outreach than Glee does.
Yes.
Or, you know, hey, this is, to use the most recent episode of Wayward, this is Benny's OC from when he was in school, and, well, that he made when he was in school, and that has an audience that numbers perhaps in the tens, and as opposed to Digimon, which is millions.
Mm-hmm. Also, you guys are doing more for the Digimon, like, property than Digimon is itself.
We kind of are. My god, I watched Karn's, like, State of the Digimon video last week. Well, I say last week, it was technically, I watched it yesterday, so. But he was like, yeah, they're still kind of doing something with the TCG visual novel they're trying to tell, but everything else is kind of getting scrapped.
Yeah, allegedly there's a console game that they're still working on. But also right now, the only game going on is Digimon New Century, a game that you can only access in China.
Yeah. I would love for there to be a Digimon video game that I would enjoy playing.
I mean, if you can get a hold of them, I'm pretty sure you enjoy Digimon Dawn and Dusk.
That is true.
Like, I know Jane Animations did a whole video on how painful they were, and you do kind of need a walkthrough just to get around the maps, but I think mm-hmm. The games themselves are very fun.
Yeah. I'm also speaking from the place of... The most recent Digimon video game that I have tried to play is Digimon Survive, which is suffering.
Yeah. Like, it's not a bad game, it's just not for you.
Yeah, it is definitively not for me. And I actually stopped playing it after chapter 5 because I was like, this is so much.
I'm just noticing now that all of my wrist and knuckle cracking is being picked up by my microphone.
Oh no!
So, sorry, Emily. But you know what? I think just like the audience should adapt to the fact that we just talked about Digimon, Emily will have to adapt to the fact that I have bones. And we'll have to adapt to the fact that this is the Glee Project podcast. Let's go!
Just go ahead and grab a chair and listen now. As we riff the show, Tanner and Christine are gonna figure out why we love this show. Better grab your golden stars and slushies, cause you're listening. You're listening to Loser Like Me. Loser Like Me.
Spoiler alert, all of us have bones.
What?
If you don't have bones, you have to tell us legally.
Otherwise, it's entrapment.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Loser Like Me. Or welcome if this is your first episode. I don't know why you're jumping on season 2, episode 5 of The Glee Project, but you know what? You're welcome regardless.
Real specific place to start, babes.
Yeah, real specific place to start. But you know what? Some people do that. But this is Loser Like Me, where we talk about Glee-related stuff, and we watched Season 2, Episode 5, which is Adaptability. My name is Christina. My pronouns are she and her.
I'm Tanner. They, them. I had a bit, but I forgot about it. Oh, right, now I remember it is. Sorry, I have one more horny thing to say.
Be my guest.
Hi, I'm Tanner. My pronouns are they, them, and I would go down on you in a theater.
I mean, hopefully that's not me specifically, because...
actually, I'm sorry. Women, I probably would not. It's just, it's not my bag.
Yes. The I will go down on you in a theater is the royal you.
Exactly. And I will say, I wouldn't, but I feel like I have a lot of friends who would go down on you in a theater if you're a woman. So there's that.
Congratulations.
If you need someone to go down on you in a theater, we can outsource it.
Oh my god.
I swear this will be relevant. So, previously on The Glee Project... The narrator calls out Charlie for his issues on set because he was trying to direct things, but we already got into that.
They try to give Charlie the villain edit.
Yeah.
I'm just like,
They try to give Mario the villain edit, even though they have nothing to work with because he didn't do anything last week other than be vaguely hot.
Yeah. And they finally get to call Nelly Nervous Nelly. Congratulations, everyone. We finally got there. We did it.
But my God, what have we done?
Yeah.
Anyways, because this episode is actually quite chaste, we begin with Aileen and Charlie.
Yeah, they have a conversation about boundaries and what their, I guess, flirtationship is going to be like, which is basically like, we are going to try to be more professional and less, I guess, less on camera about PDA and everything. But they're also both like, I am happy just to be friends because you are very important to me and I like you as a person.
Yeah. But it does also, it has a little bit of, like, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine energy.
Yeah.
Should we outsource some quality Annie It's Fines for this part?
We could probably message Jake or Lucas and be like, hey, y'all got any Annie It's Fines?
It's fine, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine. Listen, 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 listen. It's fine.
But yeah, and they both mentioned in Talking Heads, like, yeah, since this is a show and we're going to be professional, we both are still friends and we're also going to be each other's strongest competitors.
Yeah.
And they have, like, kind of a hug, which is nice. And then they go to walk off down the hallway and Charlie is like, friendship shove! And, like, kind of gently shoves Eileen's shoulder. And she promptly pushes him, or she promptly shoves him into the wall.
Yes, good.
I'm like, yes!
Anyways, just like how Charlie and Aileen have to adapt to being friends, this week is adaptability.
Mm-hmm. And my other note is people are still walking on the white couch in their shoes.
It ain't white for much longer.
But yeah, this is adaptability week. Mario declares that he's so adaptable.
Yeah, because he always has to adapt to the sight of world around him. Put a pin in that.
Yeah. So the song is You Oughta Know by... Alanis Morissette.
Oh, I accidentally typed in Alanis Maryland.
Oh my god. But yeah, and Robert declares that since it's adaptability week, they're going to have to adapt to the fact that they're not going to pick their own solos because he just kind of brought in some sheet music that is already pre-highlighted with solo selections. And he just says, pick a card, any card.
Yep.
And so everyone... takes a lyric sheet and he says, okay, bye! And then he walks off and everyone flips over their lyrics and starts, you know, reading what they got. But Mario has to ask Lily to help read his for him because he didn't get one with Braille!
That's weird. Why would they not just put Braille on all of them?
Yeah, why would they not put Braille on all of them? And then Charlie is like, I'm going to treat this as an improv exercise. I am so good at yes and. I need people to give me a location, a piece of clothing, and a name.
That is weird, actually, because, like, for the past 2 or 3 weeks, they've been like, Charlie, you have to stop treating this like an improv game. And then this whole week is like, Charlie, it's time for an improv game.
And he's like, my time has come!
So Mario is fucking... God, that's so stupid. Like, Mario, it's time to adapt to the fact that you're blind. It's like, fuck off.
Yeah.
And Lily Mae is also like, I don't like losing control. We're not going to hear from her again the rest of the episode. Well, Michael's like, listen, music make me lose control, and that's a bad thing. So this helps me get out of my head.
Oh, also, I have a screenshot for something that happens with the homework performance.
Okay.
We're almost to do anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. Charlie's truly thriving because he's the captain of Yes And. And he's going to roll with anything. He's like, we could be singing Upside Down, or we could be singing in Bethesda, Maryland. I don't know if Bethesda's in Maryland.
I thought he was going to say, we could be singing in Bethesda Video Game Studio. Hey, Emily, can you put in a clip from the beginning of Skyrim, please?
Finally awake.
It's homework time. Yeah. The mentor is Kevin.
Who Robert introduces is he's someone who's good with rolling with the punches.
Oh, I just got that, Christina.
Yeah. And it's Kevin McHale. And Allie is like, I would love to win this challenge because I would, like, I watch Glee like a hawk to make sure that Kevin McHale does not move his legs when he is in the wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, fair.
I think Allie is the only wheelchair user who's come close to saying that the show is valid for letting Kevin use a wheelchair. I think the faint praise she's given is basically, he's good at it, but, like, he is abled.
Yes, yeah.
Anyways, time to adapt!
Yeah!
Because it's not even a group number.
It's not! It's time for everyone to perform the entire song You Oughta Know as a solo.
Yes.
And when they're like, hey, this week is about adaptability, so now you're all gonna do this as a solo. And Charlie has this very relatable expression on his face. Which is just like, internally you can tell that it's some combination of LOL what, and you have got to be fucking kidding me. But yeah, so they all get to sing You Oughta Know as a solo, and when we say they all sing You Oughta Know as a solo, what we mean is that everyone individually performs and they cut it together line by line, so that basically they're all just trading off lines.
Yeah, these are weird cuts. They're very choppy.
Yeah.
Like, who edited this? This isn't audio hell, but it's close.
Yeah.
Also, however, I will say, from what we do see of people, from what I can piece together, Blake is terrible.
Yeah.
Blake is like, I don't know this song, so I'll be performing it as a spoken word.
I feel like to be able to succeed at singing You Oughta Know by Alanis Morissette, you have to get a little bit feral.
Well, I mean, he's not even singing. He's like...
No, he's not. I'm saying he fails step one, be a little feral.
I would say he fails be a little feral step two, and step one is sing, and he fails step one. Because he's out here saying, like, and I'm here to remind you
of the mess you made when you went away.
I will say, do you think this is the song they picked because they ought to know the lyrics?
Ayy.
Anyways, almost everyone else we see kind of blows it out of the water, again, of what we see. Because, like, I specifically know that Harper, Nelly, and Allie are awesome at it.
Eileen did a good job, too.
Eileen was so good.
Mm-hmm. Charlie did okay.
Yeah, I think Charlie did pretty good, and Abraham, too, and they both did, like, some on-the-fly rearranging. And Michael was just really giving her. And when it comes to, like, the review, Kevin says that he may have gone a bit over the top, but he appreciated the commitment, and I do, too.
Yeah. And Kevin is like, Eileen, you did great. Charlie, you get credit for Gender Changes the Cover. And he's like, Allie, I loved that you spent the time just giving me a Kubrick stare the whole time.
So he says that Harper forgot some words. I didn't catch that. It's entirely possible that that moment was lost in the frenetic editing. But, like, it does sound like she didn't draw attention to it. And that's something that's, like, compare that to Michael. Like, when Michael forgot the words last week, he made a whole stink of it. Harper just powers through these forgotten words. And if you power through, then most people don't realize that you forgot the words.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, Eileen wins. She's so good.
Yay, Eileen!
And the group number is a secret.
Yeah. At this point, like, this is when it kind of starts feeling like a dick move.
In the Glee Project American Tragedy video, which is still really good, holds up, everyone go watch it, by Lucas Modzelewski, he refers to Kevin does even tell Aileen during their mentor segment, and he calls Kevin an utter goon.
Yeah.
Because you would think that, like, Eileen's prize for getting the mentorship segment would be Kevin giving her some stuff about what they're going to be doing.
Yeah.
Congratulations, you get the secret peek behind the curtain. But oh, he's like, yeah. Hey, Eileen, believe in yourself. Bye!
Yeah. And, like, Kevin and Robert both mention, like, yeah, sometimes this happens on Glee. Like, we don't have the music until we get to the booth.
Sometimes we're rewriting the finale while we're shooting the finale.
Yeah. Do you know why? Bad writing! Mm. And, yeah, everyone's reaction is just like, oh no. Which is also relatable. So then they all show up to the booth for vocals time. Mario has adapted wearing the sunglasses into his everyday look. Good for him. Looks great. Nice sunglasses. Yeah. And then Nikki is like, so, I'm sure you're all wondering what the song is going to be for this week. And it is Price Tag by Jessie J, popularized and enshrined in the movie Pitch Perfect.
Is Jessie J a one-hit wonder?
No, she's got other stuff too.
Name one.
No, Domino was Katy Perry. The only downside is that I know that she has other music, but the one that I have the most attachment to is Price Tag because of Pitch Perfect.
Oh, Do It Like a Dude. No, Domino is Jessie J.
Oh, it is? Cool. Hey, I got it. Part of it, too, is that she does a lot of writing for other artists.
Oh, and then she was also part of Bang Bang, which I feel like almost doesn't count. Oh, she wrote Flashlight for Pitch Perfect 2.
Nice.
Okay, so she's not a one-hit wonder, but she's definitely not. Like, after Price Tag, after we got over Price Tag, she definitely faded from the spotlight. Sorry, this is not a Jessie J podcast, but...
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, and I would like to note, though, that this episode predated Pitch Perfect the movie by at least 5 months. Probably more. But yeah, Aileen is stoked! Because Price Tag is a lot of fun!
Mm-hmm. Also, she has a similar voice and tenor to Jessie J, so like, if she's gonna get standout moments in this song, she's definitely gonna own it.
Mm-hmm. And we get to see, like, everyone recording in the booth, and Nikki is like, wow, you all sound so good! It's because the song is actually fun to sing! And, like, Harper and Aileen and Michael all pick it up really quick. And I got some fun clips of Michael and Aileen in the booth having a good time.
Yeah.
And Michael's like, wow, I don't have the time to overthink this because we are recording this. And this is the first day we know what song it is.
Mm-hmm. Conversely, Allie and Abraham struggle a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham, I would say, it sounds like he's not singing from his diaphragm. Like, specifically, as someone who's not a professional singer, but it does just sound like he's throat singing, he's not diaphragm singing.
He gets also real up and close with the pop filter.
Yeah.
I was like, it's okay, you can step back a little bit, it's fine. Allie tries to do some rap.
Yeah. She also, I have found, like, whenever Allie struggles, it's because she's going over the top, and it's like, at this point in her skill level, she hasn't learned subtlety yet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to learn subtlety while trying out for Glee.
Yeah, and so they say this a little bit later too, but part of, I think, Allie's performance modus operandi is that she maybe has more training in musical theater, and so she is used to playing to the cheap seats.
Exactly.
Which, you know, considering Tony Award winner Allie Stroker.
Yes.
Is not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, so time for video shoot.
It's time for the video shirt. The video shirt. Actually, no, yes, shirts will be important. It's time for the video shoot. It is going to be a bunch of rich kids, and the rich kids realize that they don't want to be rich kids anymore. They want to be poor kids, because the cool kids are the poor kids, and the poor kids are the cool kids.
Wow, classism is over.
We did it, everybody. I feel like this concept was... Remember when they had Generosity last year, and it was a nothing episode?
Yes.
I feel like this shoot was, like conceptualized for Generosity, and at some point late in the game, they realized, hey, Generosity means nothing. This is not a concept. Can we do something else? And they just plugged it in for adaptability.
This feels like they had another idea in mind, but they couldn't get the location, and so they had to go to their backup, which was the Universal City Walk, and they had to come up with the concept the same day that they were doing the shoot.
Because they got to adapt!
Yeah.
I feel like this shoot almost feels like it was set up to stress out Zach specifically.
Yeah, because he is very stressed.
He's trying. Guys, he's trying so hard, but he can only do so much. He's like, do something, please?
I would also be very stressed, to be fair. Yeah. So this is the part where Charlie, God bless you, Charlie, is like, it's time for improv, and I'm going to come up with a character, and I'm going to stay in character, and I'm going to have a fun time with this video shoot that's going to be terrible otherwise. And we get, like, a talking head of Charlie, like, I am going to be in character for this whole video shoot. As long as the camera is on, I am in character. My character's name is Scott Campbell, and he is a terrible human being.
I don't care how many ocelots you have to skin until the seats on my plane are complete. You'll do as I ask.
Ordinarily, the only requests I make of people below the poverty line are for more caviar. And this is the part where I put in my notes, I want to play a tabletop game with Charlie.
Yes. Listen, it's giving... It's about 10 years before it, but it's definitely giving Bartholomew Hamish Montgomery, but you could call me Barty.
I don't know what playthrough that's from.
Okay, no, it's not a playthrough. It is from... It's from a TikTok / Reels. It's social media persons. Okay, hang on. Here's a tangent, but I might have to stay in for context. So there's an Instagram account, Oliver's Oxford, where it's a guy named Oliver who goes to school at Oxford, and he does interviews with the students to find out what they're learning and fun facts they've learned, but also sometimes he does fake interviews that make fun of the fact that so many people at Oxford are, like, rich, posh people. And so he has his one friend, who no one knows his real name, because I don't even think he has social media, but he always introduces himself as, I'm Bartholomew Hamish Montgomery, but you can call me Barty. And then he's always making jokes about, my dad's trust fund, I don't speak to povos. And I feel like Scott Campbell definitely got money from the same trust fund that Barty did.
Yes. And, like, he's very kind of upper-class twit. And I love this character of Scott Campbell. And Robert and Nikki hate it. They hate him so much. How dare he come up with a character on his own without the input from Ryan Murphy?
And it's like, okay, how dare... They've been giving him grief so much about him not focusing on the shoot and going in other places. So he decides to make a choice to stay focused on the shoot and be part of the shoot the whole time. And they're pissed about that. And this whole time they're criticizing him, they're going to be like, you made the shoot all about yourself. And I'm standing back looking at the shoot going, girl, where?
Yeah, where?
And speaking of where is something? Where is this thing you claim? I'm also asking, Eric, where is the direction? Because
yeah,
maybe there's something we're not seeing because of the editing, but I feel like we've established that Eric isn't the best music video director.
No, because he does ads.
Yeah, like
it's
I want
a different skill set.
I feel like I want to go watch some of the music videos he's directed, and is like, okay, is there like any kind of story or character going on here, or is it just people dancing to the music?
Yeah,
because Eric, that's the other thing. Eric is not part of the Glee production team. He's part of the Glee project production team.
Yes,
and yeah, so he goes to Mario, and he's like
Mario.
I'm sorry.
Mario.
Hmm? What did I say?
That's just the way that Eric says Mario's name.
Oh, okay.
I like to write it down phonetically.
Okay. So he goes to Mario. Now you're going to get me to it. He goes to Mario. He's like, Mario, you don't have enough character. And Mario's like, my vibe is girls and money. And Eric's like, well, you're right now, you're giving nothing. First off, Eric, you are not allowed to say, go girl, give us nothing. That's...
Yeah. Yeah.
You're not allowed. You're not part of the culture.
I feel like what he's trying to get across to Mario is like, we need you to be more emotive, but he doesn't say that we see.
Yeah, and also, Mario and everyone gets about 5 seconds to do anything representing some manner of character in this moment. And
yes.
Like, some of them do. Like, Michael, we see Michael emoting, we see Nelly emoting, we see Charlie emoting the whole time.
Yes, God bless him.
And yeah, so Mario doesn't really do anything, but no one told him he needed to do anything.
Yeah, and then we cut to Zach frantically trying to run through choreography before they lose light on the shoot. He's like, oh my god, like, it's gonna be okay, just relax, like, you could improv, do a fun little twirl when you jump around this planter, it's fine, it's gonna be fine, it's gonna be fine!
Blake is really struggling. This is just a bad week for Blake all around.
Yes.
Good for him.
Yes.
Anyways, the music video.
Yeah. The letterbox is white instead of black.
Oh, okay, that's weird.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is weird.
Okay, and yeah, so like, the premise of the music video is, so there's a bunch of rich kids, except for Harper and Abraham. Harper's like a waitress, and then Abraham walks up with his, so he's a poor kid, but he's got like the Beats by Dre stereo.
Yeah, and he's in jeans and a white t-shirt with a black t-shirt underneath it, maybe?
Yeah.
Unclear. And he's just, he's happy. He just walks over and starts playing his music and dancing.
Yeah. And then Harper goes to join him. And then one by one, all the other rich kids are like, oh, you know what sucks? Being rich. You know what doesn't suck? Wearing a plain white t-shirt and joining a cult.
Yeah, and they all have tiny phones.
They all have tiny phones. And some of them have the Bluetooth earbuds.
Yeah, and as, like, the whole thing is, like, as they walk over, as the, quote, rich kids, unquote, walk over to the, quote, poor kids, unquote, the broke kids kind of undress the rich kids, because they've all got their poor kid costumes on underneath. Which means that when Allie comes over, they're literally just tearing her jacket off of her.
Yeah. And, like, so here's the thing. So they're complaining that, like, they need to do something unique and stand out amongst the crowd. And so Charlie, because Charlie has his whole character, he's doing this thing where he's like, I've realized that I don't want to be rich, but I don't know how to act like a povo. Is this how you dance? Oh, how lovely! And it's a good bit. And it doesn't take over the whole music video. It's just a nice thing that lets Charlie stand out.
Yeah.
Also, again, because this music video was all over the place, because, like, when we say one by one, it's, like, every 10 seconds, another person's like, oh my god, class warfare!
Uh-huh.
And so it finally gets to the end.
And they're all just, they're kind of all just, like, dancing at Eileen, like, hey, look at us, we're doing a little two-step, don't you want to be poor?
And the thing is, Eileen, like, watches, because Nelly's the second last person to leave, and so Nelly's, like, directly like, I can't believe your price tag by Jessie J, and she leaves. And then, so Nelly's the last one, and she's giving them, like, this death glare as she's, like, sitting, lounging with all, like, their purses and stuff, and, like, singing, angrily singing price tag at them. She's going, money, money! And it's so good. Like this, and that's why I would just like to say that this music video was all over the place, and yet somehow Eileen still manages to serve the entire time.
Yeah, and like she gets to do some like face acting at the end of it, and that's her featured part, is that she gets to do some face acting about how, oh man, I don't want to be poor, but you guys look like you're having such a fun time. Might as well. And she does good. Not she does good. She does well. She does well.
She does great.
Yeah. And then she gets to go over and hang out, and then that's the end of the music video.
Yeah.
That's it.
Also, I guess we have to adapt to the fact that there is no breather interstitial. Or if there was, I didn't take notes on it.
There is, but it's later.
Oh, that's right.
It's right before the Last Chance performances.
Right, okay. So, we get to the callbacks. Eileen is first, because she rocks, she's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's safe.
Yes, the other besties are Harper, Lily, May, and Michael.
Uh-huh.
And then they're like, you all struggled. You're all terrible. Everyone's terrible.
Yeah. Specifically, they say, Nelly, you need to stand out more when you are in a group.
Hey, excuse me? Sorry. Say that again?
Yeah. I know, right? The producers think that Nelly needs to stand out more in a group. And they say, Blake, you're not improving as meteorically as the others are.
Yeah. Like, Blake started at, like, they don't actually say this, but basically, like, Blake started at an 8, and everyone else has slowly come to his level. Not even slowly, like, pretty quickly come to his level.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I would argue this week he, like, knocked himself down to a 6.
Yeah. Abraham was pitchy. This is the point where they sit, where I have in my notes that Allie was playing to the cheap seats.
Yeah.
They say that Mario is tired or flat, and Mario mentions, like, I got some conflicting directions, and I was trying to do my best to bridge that gap. And they're like, you just need to emote more with your body. And they're like, Charlie, you were too committed to the bit.
And I'm sitting here like, at least he had a bit.
Yeah, at least he had a bit.
I think Nelly could have learned a little bit from Charlie.
God, I feel like the two of them doing a bit together would be so much fun.
Yeah. You know, another thing about, I don't think Nelly and Charlie ever interacted on the show. At least on camera.
Yeah.
But anyways, but guess what? Turns out, Christina, this was not adaptability week.
It's duet week.
It's parability 2!
Because they're just going to have the bottom 6 all sing together in duets.
Yep.
And surprise, it's the person they're standing next to.
So Mario and Charlie are going to get Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me by Elton John and George Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham and Allie are going to get Last Friday Night by Katy Perry. Notably, not a duet. Hey, you know what is a duet? Lucky by Jason Mraz. Anyways.
Yeah.
Just throwing that out there for no reason.
And then Blake and Nelly are going to sing Waiting for a Girl or Boy Like You.
You know, for the straights.
Yeah, for the straights. Notably, when they tell everyone they're doing duets and, like, who their partners are, like, Allie is immediately like, I'm so excited to sing with Abraham! And Charlie and Mario look a little bit concerned, but they're like, we're gonna get through this together, man.
Yeah.
And Blake and Nellie are also there.
Yeah. And we do, like, pretty quickly see Charlie and Mario butting heads because they have very different methods. Because Charlie, as we've all mentioned, and Mario is aware, he likes to rearrange stuff and listen to the song out loud, whereas Mario likes to internalize it and listen with the headphones. And he also, he does not know the song as well and doesn't want Charlie's methods to screw him up. So they're trying to figure out how to work together. And we will not see them figure out how to work together. But, you know, it will work out together.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyways, yes, this is where we get the interstitial.
Yes.
It's more Scott Campbell.
It's more Scott Campbell, because I'm assuming that, correctly, the camera crew was like, this kid's doing a bit and we love this bit, let's get more footage.
At a certain point, the Glee Project producers realize that they know a little bit more than the Glee producers.
Yeah, and the only line of Scott Campbell's that I wrote down here was, I'm assuming I'm attracted to you. Someone told me I had to be.
There's also one where he says, I don't care if you have to triple the lead content in the baby food. You get those little fingers sewing again, okay? I'm Scott Campbell.
Yeah. I might have to put Scott Campbell in my Zelda game. Zeldify the name. But yeah, song time.
Yeah. Ryan also has to adapt to the fact that there are six people. He's like, so what's going on?
Yes, why are there six people? Are we doing five eliminations this week? And the answer is no. They're still going to eliminate one person, but they're doing duets.
Yeah. They're going to do duets, and then from duets they're going to pick a bottom three, but then the bottom three is just going to be, like, told that they suck, and then they will be, they don't even get a last chance performance. They're just like, okay, yeah. Anyways, moving on.
Yeah. So Nellie and Blake are up first with Waiting for a Girl Boy Like You. And they get to do some acting, which is good.
Nellie does seem intimidated by him. He is too tall.
Yeah. But you know how Nellie is not intimidated is that she is a good singer, with a belt so strong that it was clipping the audio in her microphone.
Hell yes.
Hell yeah.
Blake, you look like the bully from an 80s movie.
I'm telling you, Puma Man.
Blake, you look like you would have, like, played Biff and his dad.
Yeah.
That's why his hair's so big, it's full of Biffs. I will say, that's another thing I noticed, that Blake's hair is getting longer, because, like, he can't cut it, because he's on the Glee Project, and his hair is getting... I guess he could cut it, because if Abraham can dye his hair, Blake could cut his hair, but his hair is growing out.
Yeah, and the judges are like, wow, we love you too, but remember that this is a competition, not a cakewalk.
Yeah, it could have been a cakewalk for Nellie if you weren't cowards. Anyways!
Yeah.
Allie and Abraham.
They do Last Friday Night.
This is bad.
Yeah. They trade off. What they do is they end up, like, they each take half of a line of music.
In the verse.
In the verse. It's like, if the line is like, we went streaking in the dark, it'd be like Allie would sing, we went streaking, and in Abraham would say, in the dark.
And yeah. They do that the whole time through the whole verse, but then they get to the chorus, and they just sing everything together. But they don't even harmonize or even sing it together properly.
Yeah.
It sounded like karaoke.
Kind of, yeah.
And, like, I know we've established that this is not a karaoke competition, but this is karaoke even for Glee.
Yeah, and Abraham forgets the words a little bit, but they play up the whole comedy aspect of the song, which is nice.
Yeah, and so Ryan's like, Allie, you're like a little Dolly Parton, and Abraham, you're riveting.
Yes.
I don't know what he means by that.
Allie's like, I love Dolly Parton! And I'm like, Tony Award winner Allie Stroker will remember this.
Yes.
For her Tony Award-winning performance.
Allie never gets to sing Dolly Parton on this show. You know who got to sing Dolly Parton on the Glee Project? Sam.
That's right, he did.
Pathetic. Anyways.
Don't let the sun go down on me.
It's really good.
Charlie's giving her.
They're both giving her.
Yeah. And maybe some of the notes get missed, but they're both there pouring their hearts out on stage. And Ryan says, your performance was sweet.
But I no longer like him as people, so.
Yeah. So then they call everyone back out on stage, and Allie and Nellie and Blake are all immediately safe, which means that the bottom three is Charlie and Mario and Abraham.
Yeah, basically just single out to say, you're the worst this week. Anyways, ta-ta, yeah. I must judge you more harshly now, in private.
And then I forget, do they, like, do any discussion, like, back at base camp for the contestants, or do they just kind of...
They do, but I don't think it was anything beyond just like, oh gosh, I hope I'm not eliminated this time.
Yeah.
And the individual notes that the judges say are, Abraham was overshadowed, Mario didn't act good enough, and Charlie's unprofessional.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. First off, okay, so I guess Blake couldn't be eliminated because he did better on his last chance. Fine, whatever. I would have put I probably would have eliminated Abraham this week just because that was a bad last chance performance. Charlie and Mario were only in the bottom, I think, because honestly, okay. And then this is conjecture, but I get this weird vibe that the show got tired of having to accommodate them almost.
I would.
Like, they decided that their appeal as diversity points no longer outweighed how willing they were to commit to what they needed.
Honestly, when I was thinking about this last night, I was like, they've gotten to the point where they're getting rid of the diversity picks.
Yeah.
Which sucks to say, but is not untrue.
But it's true.
Yeah.
And, like, even if Charlie is a white boy, like, he's different. Like, he's notably different as soon as he acts or you interact with him. Like, Charlie can't pass for, what would he pass? Charlie can't pass for neurotypical, and that's not a bad thing, but it is something that, like, it's at no point in anyone in production say, like, hey, let's do, here's the other thing, though, actually, here's something I didn't mention last week, but I want to bring it up, is that, like, you will see things where, like, people on the spectrum will do this, that, and the other thing, and it'll be, like, normal, polite things to do. It's like, people on the spectrum struggle when someone tells them one thing, but means a different thing. And it's like, or people on the spectrum struggle with following directions if the directions are incomplete. And it's very much like, I'm pretty sure I saw a post where it's like, you read this list and it just sounds like A-listic people are inherently assholes. And only people on the spectrum are the ones who know how to act courteously in a society, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how it is in basic courtesy when if someone does something wrong, then you go to that person and say, hey, you did an oops here, here's how to correct it, and the person goes, oh, okay, I understand now. Mm-hmm. But that just seems like a normal thing to do.
Yeah.
Like, I at work, even like someone's like I was losing my mind trying to get a thing done, like do a proper procedure of something, because there was no proper procedure as far as I knew. And this is like, I've worked at that job for 14 years, and I've been in this position that I'm in for like 5 years. And I'm like trying to do all this stuff, and like, this is how I've been taught, such and such, this was the best way to figure it out. And someone was finally like, but why aren't you just using the official procedure? And like, what official procedure? Like, oh yeah, we established this in like 2019. Like, nobody told me.
Yeah.
Anyways, so yeah, I get angry about most contestants on their behalf, but
yeah,
Charlie because it feels personal, and Mario because like it becomes so plain that like because Mario was better than they expected he would be at the start, they just assumed that he would be better at everything. It's like Mario came in and he was like, "I figured out how to do choreography, and here's how to do it." And they're like, "Great, we will do no other thing to accommodate you."
Yeah,
except the Braille, and even this time they're like, "Well, not on the lyrics pages."
Yeah.
Like, how is Mario supposed to learn to, like, act with body language if he's never seen people acting with body language?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he's very still. He doesn't do a lot of, like, dramatic things with his physicality, but that's probably because he's never been told, hey, maybe do that. Like, maybe if they gave him that advice before the Last Chance performance, he'd be able to do something.
Mm-hmm. This is all to say that Mario goes home this week.
Yes. He hopes that viewers saw an inspirational young man that happened to be blind and not just a blind person that on the Glee project. Unfortunately, Mario, both of those statements are true.
Yeah.
Last night I was messaging you saying how frustrating it is that sometimes the judges make salient points, and at this point I'm like, actually no, they weren't that salient.
Yeah, this point is not salient.
No, it's not. On the flip side, yeah. I am kind of glad that Mario didn't get onto Glee, because God, can you imagine how bad it would have been for him on the show?
It would have been terrible and disgusting. By which I mean, taking advantage of him would have been terrible and disgusting.
I am so happy that Mario has never had to interact with Lea Michele.
Oh my god.
Nightmare scenario.
Truly, honestly.
Anyways, since he's been gone, he's adopted kids.
Oh, nice. Good for him.
Yeah, so like, okay, so according to the other Where Are They Now video, let me just quickly check on Amy Levette was the one we're going off some of the Where Are They Now videos. Yeah, he adopted like 4 kids of various age ranges, including some teens, which was awesome because it's really hard for teens to get adopted.
Yeah.
Also, he was 24 at the age of the show airing, so he was probably a little bit older by that point, which is like, okay, yeah, it'd be weird if like a 24-year-old was adopting a 16-year-old, but like, age up a little bit. It's like, obviously there's nothing wrong with it. It's just like, hey, that's a weird thing, but I'm glad it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways. He's also a fitness model and motivational speaker now. He's become a beefcake.
Yeah, I saw a picture of him.
Yeah, here's the thing. I've been throwing shade at Blake for being too extruded of a hunk. But that's the thing. Blake looks like he was made in a factory. Blake looks like he was put together in a lab. Mario Bonds looks like he actually is properly fit and beefy and looks good about it.
Yeah. I saw something that he was on American Idol at some point.
Yes. That was after Glee Project.
Yeah.
Also, more recently, this is from... Oh, last year, actually. He went viral because he was at a Hilton hotel and got stuck in an elevator because the elevator didn't have touch buttons or braille on anything. They just had a touch screen with no voice.
Oh my god.
Which is also not even ADA compliant.
Yeah, that's terrifying. Is he... So, he's okay, right?
Oh, he's fine. Because it wasn't like the elevator broke. It was just he walked into the elevator and realized there was no way for him to actually interact with the elevators. Like, the doors closed and he's like, there's nothing I can do right now. So we basically, like, recorded a video saying, yeah, I'm blind, and there's no way for me to interact with this elevator. I can't get out. I can't go to another floor. I don't even know how to open the doors again. I basically have to wait until someone else opens this elevator, which is incredibly humiliating.
Oh, no.
And it's like, I don't feel helpless when I have my cane and when I'm able to access, like, braille and touch stuff. Like, that doesn't make me feel lesser. That makes me feel like you interact with the world. And in this situation, I've been completely cut off from interacting with the world.
Oh, my God.
Which is just, like, it's almost, I would say, existentially distressing.
Yeah, literally.
And the Hilton was like, we're investigating this. And Mario's like, there's not a way to investigate it. Just, like, either put the braille back in or make the thing voice. Like, I have an iPhone that is all touchscreen, but it voices things to me.
Yeah, maybe you should investigate why it is that this thing is happening.
Like, investigate the elevator company, because they're usually, like, separate companies. But it's like, why did the elevator company think they could get away with this?
Yeah.
But yeah, fortunately, he's fine. He went viral, it raised a lot of awareness, and he continues to be a baddie. He's also still singing. I think it goes without saying that everyone we've talked about is still singing.
Mm-hmm. Love to see it. Love to hear it. Yes,
exactly.
Yeah, but I guess that's it.
Yes, that is it. So, you have been listening to Loser Like Me, which is a part of the Corner Podcast Network. We can be heard on your podcasting platform of choice, and if we aren't there, let us know and work on getting there. Or you can also listen to other shows on the network, like Not If I Beat You First, which is coming back, I swear, or The Home for Weirdo Seas, which is back, and also You the Devil in D&D, which is also back.
Yeah.
It's actually been back for a while by the time this episode comes out, but you should still go listen to it, because Lindsay and Ryan talk about how Balenciaga is secretly satanic and etc., which they're not satanic, they're just kind of dumb. Also, it definitely goes into this thing I always say, where, like, a celebrity will come out wearing high fashion is the ugliest fit you've ever seen.
Yeah.
Anyways, you can also contact us through Blue Sky at loserlikemepod.bluesky.social.etc., whatever, you know what it is. If you're on Blue Sky, you know what this guy's about. And you can also email us at loserlikemepod@gmail.com. We also have a Discord server and Tumblr. Those links are in the bios. Next time, speaking of Americans with disabilities, I think someone's going to send Allie into hypothermia.
Yeah. I was going to make a joke about, oh hey, next week it's Fearlessness, not featuring Taylor Swift's song Fearless.
Ayy.
But yeah.
But yeah.
So until next time.
3, 2, 1.
And that's what you miss on the Glee Project.
Just go ahead and grab a chair and listen now. As we riff the show, Tanner and Christina gonna figure out why we love this show. Better grab your golden stars and slushies, cause you're listening to Loser Like Me. Loser Like Me. Loser Like Me.